Welcome to Future Proof, the marketing podcast from Kantar, the world's leading marketing data and analytics company, and Side Business School, University of Oxford. In each episode, we speak with marketing leaders and share insights to help brands and business leaders navigate the ever-changing marketing landscape and hopefully dispel some myths and misconceptions along the way.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, I'm Dr. Nikki Morley. Welcome to this episode of Future Proof. Today I'm joined by Mike Nolan, founder and CEO of Product of the Year. Welcome, Mike.
Oh, it's great to be here.
So, Mike, for those who don't know, perhaps you could say something about what Product of the Year is all about, please.
So we founded Product of the Year about 30 years ago. It essentially exists to champion innovation. There's so much great innovation around, and we felt that there was some role for someone to be the champion of that. And it's really across a different set of sectors, really. First of all, helping shoppers find great new innovations. Also helping manufacturers who spend so much time, effort, and money doing it. And supporting retailers as well, because they want to have the best innovations there. And really, we identified an issue, what we thought was called the tyranny of choice. There are so many fantastic products out there, but there are also lots of products to choose from. And people don't have enough time. And you're going into the supermarket, you want to find a good new product, it's not the most important thing in the world. How can we help people navigate through that? So we support champion innovation. We start by trying to help shoppers find the best innovations, but part of that is being in a network with manufacturers and retailers as well.
Brilliant. I love this idea. You know, being a behavioral scientist myself, the tyranny of choice is a difficult challenge and we can become overwhelmed by it. So that's a brilliant explanation of Product of the Year. Now, I know sort of, you know, along those sort of 30 years, we've been your research partner for at least 20 of them. So I know it's great to have partnered with you over the years. But tell me, you must have seen some great innovations over that time. Which one is your favourite and why?
Well, listen, first of all, I would say genuinely, Kantar have been a fantastic partner to me personally over the 20 years in many countries and really supportive of what we've done. So when we founded it, there was nothing really going on. It was unheard of and you guys have been part of growing it. So I really appreciate that.
Brilliant.
Finding a favourite product is a really tough thing, right?
I know.
Across all the years. Right? I've been doing it for 20 years and I picked out a few and for different reasons.
Okay.
Right? The first one I'd love to talk about is back in 2005, when we first launched Product of the Year, one of the first years we did it, Heinz Tomato Ketchup won Product of the Year by flipping the bottle upside down and putting it in plastic. And it seemed one of those things where you just thought, why hasn't anyone done this before? It completely changed everything about how people do sauces and condiments and things like that. And it seemed such a simple idea. It seemed to fix everything. And so it was a real category changer. And I'm sure we'll come on and talk about things like that. So that was always, it has a sort of personal part in my life because it was the first, you know, huge win from a huge manufacturer. Other ones over the years, mattresses, 2017, suddenly mattress in a box. You know, it came from a need that people had of getting mattresses home and so on. And that kind of felt like it changed everything. And it felt that product of the year was helping identify genuinely game-changing products, which was wonderful. And then even up to kind of recent winners, with 2022 Inch Cider from Heineken.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, it's a fantastic idea. The idea that people want taste, of course they do, but then these, you know, these apples are going to come from 40 miles away and so on. So it was kind of linking the idea of taste with environmental concerns. And so, you know, there is a long, long list. J&J had a winner, again, many, many years ago. I know it's Kenvue now, but it was Johnson's Holiday Skin Body Lotion. And it was the first gradual tanning moisturizer. And it won our moisturizing category in the first year. And the next year, we had two or three moisturizing gradual tan categories of their own. And then the next year, Dove won it. So it really created this new category, this new thing. And so I think, you know, obviously the Inch one is great because it's cider and we all like a glass of cider when we can, but these things have got reasons behind them. So sometimes you feel very proud and excited about what product of the year has been able to be part of. And, you know, we're there reflecting what people are doing. We're not driving this innovation, but we are spotting it. And with you at Kantar, identifying it. And that really, those are the ones, the sort of game-changing ones that really excite me when I look back over the last 20 years.
And I think actually Inches is a good choice because it's quite a brave move for a sort of Heineken to sort of develop a new brand around that in their quest, as you say, to sort of get a more sustainable product out there. And you're right, they really got it right because of the way that they delivered on taste for that particular innovation. So I think that's a great choice. Perhaps you had three favourites in there, but
which is my favourite child? It depends who I'm talking to.
Brilliant. So, you know, I love the fact that you talked about the sort of, you know, celebrating those sort of game changers. What do you think really makes a good winner?
It's really hard, right? And I think the first thing to do is to say that product of the year is involved in trying to identify the winners. And so we can talk about that, but we are not the people who are doing the hard yards creating the new product. So I always want to be a little bit careful about kind of sitting in an ivory tower and telling people who work really hard, very all day, every day, trying to do this. I think we kind of talk about it as NPD, right? So we look and identify things that have, we think good winners either have a need, a purpose, or a desire. So if a winner creates, and the best ones tend to have more than one of those categories, right? So a need is when people are identifying a obvious need. They're not focusing on what they can do because they can do it. So not just because we have the manufacturing capability, there's a need for something. So like, you know, mattress in a box is a really good example where someone needed something, there was a problem coming home with mattresses, and they fixed it. And that is really great. The second one being purpose, it is like with the Heinz, with the turning it upside down. There's purpose to why they're doing it, a very clear reason why they're doing it. And then that one, I'm not sure that people had a need. So the need, it's not the same as the need, it's the purpose. There's a purpose for turning it upside down, and there's a reason why you're doing it.
Solving a tension, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great way of putting it. So you've got need, which is like, you know, focusing on something that you can solve for people. Then the purpose, that's, yeah, we can do something and we think we can lead people to that. And then desire is creating a desire for perhaps things people don't know. So, you know, with Inches, right, which we just talked about, it's focusing on taste, but it's focusing on environmental stuff and it's launching a new product. You know, you could look at Caramax, because I'm so old. Caramilk is this, you know, a really great winner. I think I'm right saying it was 22 that it won. Came over here in 21. It's a fantastic product. It's got really great taste. It created a desire, not necessarily a need or a purpose. And so when we look at the best winners, we see either N, P, or D, as in need, purpose, or desire. And the best ones, perhaps, you know, I haven't mentioned it on my favorites, if I can expand my favorites, is the McCain's baked potato, the frozen baked potato. Cook it in 5 minutes. It was groundbreaking, and you've probably got better stats on why and how much of a market it created. But it was extreme, you know, there was a need, there was a purpose, there was a desire. And so that new product delivered on the three things we look for. And it was wildly successful. I mean, financially incredibly successful as well, which is like, in the end, this is really what we're kind of part of. We want to support shoppers first so that they get great new products. But we're in the corner of the manufacturers as well. We want to champion the people making these things. So I guess, you know, in summary, that's what I would think of. NPD, need, purpose and desire.
Very nice. And it's interesting you say, you know, sort of like sitting and observing in your ivory tower. But I actually think, you know, we're sat in a wealth of data and people always ask us this question, what does good look like? And I think it really helps to sort of unpack the data we've got to be able to look at it. I don't have stats on frozen potato, but
I think I might have some.
But I do have, actually, coincidentally, because I didn't know you were going to talk about Cow Milk, but in actual fact, sorry. I know it won. It was definitely one of the top 10 UK MPDs that World Panel sort of pull out every year. And actually, what I also know, it was made with 30% cacao as well.
Right.
So I do think it had sustainability as what I'd call a gift, much like Inches does as well.
Yeah.
So that's a lovely example of an innovation, isn't it, that one? But what do you think an innovator might need to do differently to win? So you've got need, your purpose and desire. I think that's a, you know, a lovely sort of MPD acronym. But what do you think they need to do differently?
First up, I think it's really important to say that innovation, good innovation, is really hard.
Oh, gosh, right?
And
yes.
So, you know, so like, you know, saying, hey, look, this is how everyone should be doing it around the world whilst not actually manufacturing anything ourselves, I think is an area I want to be a bit careful of. I think it really comes out. If I had to pick one thing that I think really matters, is doing what people need rather than what you can do. And I think that in the end comes back to it. And I think a lot of the things that we see that are not good. So maybe I can talk about, yeah, we had a winner with Reckitt's like 20 years ago, so no one's gonna be upset. They produced a wonderful new loo brush. It cleaned the loo with a canister of foam in it. It looked fantastic, but it was like £20. And people are like, I'm not spending that much money on something to clean my loo. And it was driven by, we could do this. We could bring together these different bits of our company and it all made sense, but it just wasn't there for what people needed. So I think that if I had to pick one thing, is to make sure that you're doing something that fits a need rather than what you can do because you can do it. And that's where we see the ones that we think fail the most, that don't win product of the year when they're entered, is because it's more what we can do rather than what we need to do.
Brilliant, thank you. Now, one of the things we've been able to do, because we have a sort of a lot of data, is look back across the sort of the last 5 years and characterize for ourselves what we think makes a sort of great winner. And so we've identified the top 20. And one of the things we saw, and sort of you call it sort of need, purpose, desire, what we sort of frame that as being meaningfully different. Something that meets a need, meets some sort of emotional sort of connect, it makes an emotional connection, it sets trends. And importantly, it's different than the competitors out there. And what I love about the fact is when we looked at that top 20, there were some really nice ones in there, sort of that were giving a sense of nostalgia, such as Honest Lemonade, Trailblazers. The one I particularly like is Mentos, one of the recent winners in the sustainable packaging. Allow consumers to do exactly what they did before, but change their habits to a more sustainable one. I think as well, the personal care sort of category has been really interesting. Some of the winners in there, some of the top 20, you know, they identified a real point of difference. And all too often, you know, as you say, sort of an innovation can pass to sort of from R&D or a technology and it loses that meaningful different or it doesn't exist. And I actually think sort of, for example, Gillette do that really well. Mm-hmm. They've been multiple winners of product of the year and had some of the highest ranking products in the last 4 years as well. And I think they sort of get it right. They focused on sort of specific tensions, sort of created visible product features that enabled that superior experience. And I think experience is important as well. You know, there was certainly one that added the exfoliating bar. I think that was one of the winners this year. And then there was the other one that sort of, you know, the added sort of gel strip. Again, I think they solve a problem and a tension to get the closest shave possible. And actually, probably sort of to go against the example you gave of Reckitt's, I think there's a really nice one in Airwick. You know, they are constantly innovating in Airwick, aren't they? And I think, you know, one of their good product of the year winners was the partnership they had with Stacey Solomon and the, what's it called, the Airwick spray.
Yeah.
I think that's a really nice sort of innovation. And the partnership as well, sort of, you know, the credentials that Stacey Solomon brings. So I think having access to that data does enable us to sort of identify, and I think we're both saying this sort of this idea of being meaningful and different.
I think it's interesting, jumping into that, sometimes I think people look at it and want invention. And I don't think it is invention,
no.
Right? We're very clear that product isn't, certainly from what we look at, it's not about invention. Okay, sometimes things come that completely change everything. But on the whole, sometimes solving that tension might be quite a small tweak.
Yes.
And actually, the size of what you're doing doesn't necessarily make the benefit bigger. And so actually sometimes when they solve a small tension, like you're talking with the bars on the Gillette and so on, and sometimes people kind of slightly ridicule those. Oh gosh, it's
another blade.
but they're wrong.
Yeah.
They are genuinely wrong. There is a reason why they're doing it, and the people using it find the benefit, and it seems like it's small and it's just a little innovation, but it's not an invention again, and it makes a massive difference. And I think sometimes people look to kind of, you know, force into, I've got to make a bigger leap. And actually, if you're solving attention, like you're saying there, it doesn't necessarily have to be life-changing. What we're talking about is innovations that are in people's homes. We're not talking about new Aston Martins that are aspirational, no one's ever going to drive them. These are tiny little things that solve tensions in your life, get in your home, and actually change the way you live your life. And so I think that that would be something as well, from what you're saying.
Yeah.
People don't overreach, if I was to say something. Don't try and create an invention necessarily. An innovation's plenty if it solves a need.
And I think, and if it's different from your competitors, I think that's really important. Whatever you're doing it better than your competitors. I think that's really important. So tell me, if a brand thinks that it has an innovation worthy of being a winner, what should it do?
Listen, that's pretty straightforward. Thanks for that. I mean, like, you know, enter product of the year, right? But what we want is people with ambition, with plans. We need people who have products that are available across the country. And we run this in 40 countries around the world. So wherever your innovation is, it's in the States, it's in Africa, we can support you. But get involved in the program. You get fantastic research from Kantar as part of this. And that's, you know, we always refer back to you as being the intel inside. Kantar are the people who do the research that can be trusted. That generates a winner. We give you the logo. You use the logo across all advertising, marketing, everything. It's all included in the program. And, you know, you should see a great bump in sales, a great PR campaign around you. So, you know, we genuinely take it quite seriously as trying to be a force for good. Of course, we're all in this to try and increase sales, and I'm not hiding that. But it is about trying to help shoppers find new products, support manufacturers, and help retailers.
Brilliant. And I love the fact that our partnership together sort of really helps champion innovation and really answers that question, sort of, what does good innovation look like?
Yeah, I mean, again, everybody talks about innovation, all their companies. Everybody has innovation in their mission statement. But very rarely do people come together and genuinely focus and talk about just that and how they can do it. So, you know, we like having an award show that focuses on innovation. We like being able to talk about this with statistics, with you helping us out. So it's nice to bring people together and focus on what's actually succeeded in innovation and try and learn the lessons, rather than always talking about it being a future thing. We're going to try and do it. We're going to try and do it. What did work and what lessons can we learn?
Well, all remains to say is thank you very much, Mike. Really enjoyed talking to you today.
Thank you very much. I've loved being here.
You've been listening to Future Proof from Kantar and Side Business School. For all episodes and more information, visit kantar.com or oxfordfutureofmarketing.com. If you enjoyed this, please leave a rating and a review and subscribe on your favourite podcast app so you never miss an episode.